tonight is to have, verse 3, have my sins put away. What an amazing thing this is. There's nothing the world cannot offer us, anything really of lasting value. This is the most precious possession you can have, is to know your sins are gone. No matter what you don't have, no matter what you have, if you don't have your sins taken care of, your sins put away, you really have nothing. This is the most important thing, is have all your sins washed away. All your sins can be put away right now before you die, tonight. Because we all have a big mountain of sin. And those sins need to be put away if we'll ever see God's heaven. No sin can enter into heaven. Not even one sin. You cannot be in God's heaven with just one sin. So every sin must be washed away. Only Jesus can take those sins away. Only Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel means good news. And the good news is you can be saved tonight. You can have all your sins taken away. You can be ready for heaven. You don't have to fear hell. I used to grow up in a religious system, in a religious organization where I was scared of hell. Hell was a very real place to me and a very scary place. And I didn't like thinking about hell. But it's the reality. You can't ignore the facts. You can't ignore it. You can't put your head in the sand and pretend hell's not there. The Lord Jesus Christ warned us of hell. So it's so good tonight that I can actually have peace. I have no fear of hell. And you need not to have fear of hell either. You can be free. You can be safe from that awful place. You can have all your sins washed away. What an amazing thing this is, to know you're going to heaven. To know if I died right now, I'll be in heaven. Not because we're good, but because we've been saved. Because the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, we can say. So we'll just open up with a prayer, and then we'll get into the reading. Let's open up our scriptures. The scriptures, the word of God, to Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23, just a very common, popular verse. And if you don't know this verse, we'll try and emphasize this verse today. Hopefully when you leave the meeting tonight, you'll know what Romans 3, verse 23 says. It's a fundamental foundation verse. If you ever want to be in God's heaven, if you ever want to be in God's heaven, you need to know this verse. You need to understand what this verse is saying. So we'll speak of four ideas today. Just a quick, brief outline. The first idea is we'll speak about sin. So we need to make things very clear in the gospel. We need to speak of sin, man's sin or man's ruin, the problem we have. So we need to talk about the problem first. So we have a big problem, a serious year of problem. We're not here to pat your ears or to say beautiful words, you know, to encourage you. We're here to tell you the truth of God's word about our sin problem, a very serious issue, a really serious problem, a really serious diagnosis, and it's sin. So we speak of sin first, our sin, which is not a very fun thing to talk about, but it needs to be addressed. So sin, and then we'll talk about what sin is. So sin, and then we'll talk about God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's holy standards. He's a holy, holy, holy God, and we're not like him in any which way. So we'll talk about God's righteousness. And then and we'll talk about judgment to come. There's a real judgment day coming. A real day we'll stand before a holy God. All of us. The Bible says it is appointed to men wants to die. Women want to die. Children wants to die. We're all going to die one day. The Bible says it is appointed to men wants to die and then the judgment. There's a real judgment day coming. And we fear, most people fear the judgment day. When we think about, we think ahead, we know we're going to die. We know we'll stand before a holy God. And that's a fearful thing. That's a very fearful thing, to stand before a holy God. Can you imagine, like, this holy God, we're standing in front of him. He knows absolutely everything we've ever done in darkness, in secret. The evil things we've done, the evil things we've said, even who we are. This God, we're exposed before this holy God. And we'll stand one-on-one. It'll be like a one-on-one interview about what we've done. And the whole life will be reviewed. And all our sins will be brought before. That's a very scary thing, especially if we're not saved. So we'll talk about the judgment day. And then we'll talk about Christ. At the very end, we'll talk about the solution, God's remedy, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we can be saved from that awful place called hell. So let's start with Romans 3, verse 23. And I think most of us won't have a problem with this. Hopefully we don't have a problem with this verse. It says here, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. For. So how much is all? And so all is absolutely everybody. Every person here in this room, I can say with confidence, all, you're a sinner here. Like everybody here. Not one of us can say it's not me. No, not one of us can say I'm a good person. Not one of us. The Bible says we're all sinners. And that includes every person here. It includes every person on this block. It includes every person in Winnipeg. It includes every person on earth. Everybody. And that includes every priest. Every holy man. People call themselves holy men. There's all these false religions of the world. They have these holy men. They're all sinners. They fall in that category. All the priests of this world. The Pope of the world. These archpopes. These archbishops. Mary. Even Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, the Bible says, categorically, all have sinned. Absolutely every person, without exception, all without exception, all except the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one person who's never sinned, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not sin. He was God. That's why he was the Almighty God who came down from heaven to walk amongst us. What a precious idea that the Lord Jesus, God came down. A lot of people say, why? Where is God? When I see God, I'll believe. Well, he actually showed up in times past. He was here. He did walk the dusty streets. He actually showed up in flesh, manifest in the flesh. He was here. He did miracles. He showed that he was God. And God did come down. And God did many miracles. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk and so on and so forth. And so God was here. And people still did not believe in him. Many people did not believe in him. So all have sinned. We're all guilty before a holy God. And the reason we sin is because we have this horrible sin nature. We have this innate, it's who we are. We are sinners. It's not that we do sin, it's we are. This is what our profession is, our profession. So a lot of us have different jobs, and I'm not sure what your job is. I'm a professional carpenter. And so that's what I do. And there's many, maybe different tradesmen here, different doctors, maybe lawyers, maybe, we don't know, accountants. There's all kinds of professional people here. And maybe some maybe are more professional than others, and maybe so on and so forth. We can all designate ourselves. I'm a good hockey player. I'm this and I'm that. We can have different ideas of what we are. And there's all kinds of various professions here. But one thing, we can all put ourselves into one boat, the same boat. We're all professional sinners. That's where we are. That's who we are. That's what we do. It's in our very nature. We can all say, I am a sinner. I'm a professional sinner. So that's where we can put ourselves into that category. I am a sinner. All professional sinners. Professional, certified, good sinners. And so that's what we are. The Bible says we're so bad that all our righteousnesses, so all the things we do which are good, we think they're good deeds. We think they're Those are righteous acts. Wow, I did a good deed today. I donated a Canadian Tire. They said, do you want to donate to the camp or donate to all these organizations, or Salvation Army or World Vision or all these things that people are trying to raise money. And we give a $5 maybe or so on and so forth. We feel we've done good. We feel we've done good things. We pat ourselves on the back. And many of us do good things. But the Bible says, as far as salvation is concerned, if you're depending on those things to get to heaven, the Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the righteous things we do, all the good things we do are as filthy rags. It's all trash. It's all garbage in God's sight. It's all, as far as salvation, if you're trying to get to heaven by good works, by these righteous acts, it's actually going to fail in the day of judgment. All our righteousnesses, not the bad things we do, not the evil things we've done, they are really bad. The evil we've done, the lustful thoughts, the wicked words we've said, the unclean ideas we've had, the lies. It's not talking about that. This is talking about all our righteousness, all our good things. Isaiah says, Isaiah 64, verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it's like this disease which has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It's in our DNA. It's spread down to all of us. And we can think about all these diseases in the world. We can think of AIDS. Who wants to have AIDS? What a horrible disease, a terrible disease, certain death if you have AIDS. And then there's like cancer, the dreaded word cancer. Who wants to wake up one day and get the diagnosis, I got cancer? Can you imagine that phone call from the doctor, I got cancer? What a horrible, horrible news. Or I have leprosy. Or there's all these diseases, MS, all these very serious diseases, it's such a tragedy to hear, oh, I got heart issues, or I'm infected by this, or by Ebola, or by COVID-19 or all these different things which strike fear into our very hearts. And this is nothing. You know, this is nothing. We can maybe say, hey, I'm not one of those. I'm a perfectly healthy human being. But the Bible says, no, we have this far worse disease, a million times worse than any leprosy, than any AIDS, than any cancer, than any disease. This world, we can look around the filth of the world and all the sadness and sicknesses of the world. We can look at all that and we can say, I'm clean. No, the Bible says we all have sin. This sin disease is coming right down into our very being. We're affected by this incurable disease called sin. And it's in our very, going through our very nature, very, very veins, who we are. We're sin, and it'll surely take us to hell. These other diseases might not take you to hell. AIDS and all these different diseases, cancer. You know, it'll just kill this body. But sin will kill you, will destroy your soul in hell. You go down to hell in the lake of fire. That's a horrible thing. If you think about it, wow, I got this disease called sin, and it's going to take me to hell forever. What a horrible thing. So this is very serious, a serious diagnosis by God. He said we're infected. From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, we're infected by sin, the Bible says. We're loaded. We're full of sin. And where does sin come from? This sin came from our great-great-grandpa Adam. So we're all related. We're all in the same family. We're all in the same Adamic evil family. We're all family members. All a bunch of brothers and sisters in the long run. We're going way, way back to Adam. Great-grandpa Adam. So we can all go back, way back, and we can see, wow, why are we so messed up? Well, we got the same daddy. We got the same great-grandpa way back in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started. This sin. Sin entered into the world. The Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 5, verse 12. So everybody has been affected by this disobedience of one man. Just disobeying God in the Garden of Eden. There was this paradise, this perfect place. God said he can eat of everything in the garden. Enjoy. You know, what an amazing God. You know, all these fruits that we don't have no idea. We have these old stale fruits at Superstore, which have no flavor, a lot of them. They were in paradise with these juicy, sweet, and healthy, nutritious, no pesticide sprayed on them, nothing. Just unbelievable, nutritious food. And what did they do? And he says, there's one tree you cannot eat in the midst of the garden. And guess what they did? They went and they took of that one, the one tree they're not supposed to partake of. They took of it and they ate, and sin entered into the world. Only by an act of disobedience. How many of us have disobeyed in our lives? Quite a few, eh? So only once. It sounds like such a small, trivial thing. Oh, they just disobeyed. A little disobedience. What's the big deal? A little sin. What's a little sin? Very serious to a holy God. You know, it depends who we sin against. This is a holy, high and holy God. So one little act of disobedience. They didn't murder anybody. They just took of that apple and sin entered into the world. Apple, I shouldn't say apple, but whatever it was, it entered, sin entered into the world. And therefore death has passed upon all men. The disease entered in the sin nature and has been passed down to all of us. So we're all sinners from Grandpa Adam. So it's in our nature. An apple tree produces apples. And we have apple trees at home. I'm so excited. They're all blossoming right now. I'm such a, what a harvest it'll be. We're so excited to be able to partake of these apples. And we'd be shocked if we went there and there were oranges. We'd be absolutely shocked. Whoa, look at these oranges. Nobody would believe me. My kids would say it's impossible. It doesn't work that way. And that's true. So we are humans. We don't produce good fruit. We produce evil fruit. We have a sin nature. We produce sin. Goodness will not come out of this tree. The good tree bears forth good fruit. The evil tree will bring forth evil fruit. That's why we produce evil. That's why we produce sin in our lives. And that's expected. And it's a global problem. It's all over the world. It's in China. You go to China, you go to Ukraine, you go to Russia, you go to Brazil, you go to Africa, you go to Germany. You go all over the world. It doesn't matter who. You go up to the Tibet, up the mountains, the monasteries in Tibet. You go to the Vatican. The sin problem is everywhere. It's a global problem. So it's a very serious thing, this sin problem. There's graveyards and cemeteries all over the world. We went to England last year, and lo and behold, guess what was there in England? This beautiful place called England, Ireland as well. There's cemeteries there. People have died all over. We're going to China, there's dead people there, and so on and so forth. It's passed down to all men, this horrible disease called sin. The earth is really one great giant cemetery, a great place of death. What amazing it is that we're still alive. But our day is coming too. We will be dead too. And then the next generation will be dead too. This is what we do. This is what happens to us. We just die. We're a dying race. We die. And it's very serious because of sin, because that sin nature. And so there, I think we've covered enough of sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then there's another verse. I like this verse over there. It's a very powerful verse. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages, the payment of sin. What's the payment of sin? What's God going to mete out for us? Is God going to say, oh yeah, we're all sinners, no big deal? No. Our kids can sin against us at home sometimes. And we're like, I'm tired of dealing with this guy, with this kid. Just always violates, just let it slide. You know, or pretend it didn't happen. Or we didn't see it. Because we just don't want to deal with it again. You know, but God is not like that. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages. God's not going to let one sin be unaccounted for. Not one evil thing we've done. Anything in secret. Doesn't matter what it is. No matter how long ago it is, it will be brought to justice. The wage, the payment of sin is death. And that even happened in the Nazis. The Nazis. And even now, if they catch a murderer who's murdered somebody 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, a serial killer, he's going to get arrested. He's going to get executed. And that happened in Nuremberg, the trials, the Nazis, the Nazi guys who were involved in the concentration camps. They got found out eventually, and they were brought before a judge, and they were executed, many of them. They could not get away with it. Oh, we didn't know it's bad, what we said. Oh, we're just following orders. It didn't matter. They were guilty. So for the way, and that's going to be with us one day. God's going to catch us one day. You know how he's going to catch us, how he's going to arrest us is with death. The pillar of death, that's really our arresting officer. That's how who gets us, is the arresting officer is death. We're free till the pillar of death meets us, till we meet the pillar of death. We're totally free agents. We can do whatever we want in a certain sense. We're getting away with it, as it were. But once the arresting agent comes for us, death, once he grabs us, that's the end. Then we're brought before this great and holy judge. To face the consequence of our sin. For the wages of sin is death. The wages, the payment. And isn't it fun to get paid? Who likes getting paid here? Who doesn't like getting paid? Put your hand up if you do not like getting paid. I do not want to get paid. Nobody here. Eh? Everybody likes to get paid. It's so fun getting checks, paychecks. For the wages. But this is a check you don't want to get. This is a paycheck you do not want to get. The payment, the paycheck that's waiting for you one day, paid. For the wages of sin is death. And really, death is the second death. And it's the second death. The Bible talks in Revelation, talks about the second death. For the wages of sin is death, hell, and the lake of fire. That's what's going to wait. That's going to await us, is at that judgment day. The Bible says, for his appointed to man wants to die, and then the judgment, and then the sentencing, as it were. We're on death row. All of us are on death row, really, right now. We're just waiting to be executed in hell in the lake of fire. It's eternal punishment. Not just a life sentence. Not just for a few years. People get caught for these evil crimes, these evil people, and they get life sentences, and then 25 years later, some ridiculous thing, they get paroled because of good behavior, even earlier, and they get out, and they're let go on the streets again, these murders. So just these life sentences sound so bad, but nothing compared to eternal hell, eternal death. But praise God, the verse is not done there. What a sad thing it would be if we would read this verse and the meeting would be done right now. If I said, amen, we're all going home, we're going to hell. How tragic that would be. How sad that would be. Right? Can you imagine? Like, I'm doomed. I'm going to hell. And there's no hope. But there is hope. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God. Hallelujah. The gift of God. But the gift of God. The gift. What's a gift? Anybody know what a gift is? A gift is something you get that you don't deserve. It's a kindness meted out to you by someone else. Somebody who loves you. Usually it's somebody who loves you. Nobody's ever given me a gift that hated me. I don't think so. Hopefully not. The assumption is that the person who's given me the gift loves me. That's the idea. Wow, the person likes me. Or the person thinks I'm a good guy. Or you know, there's some connection there. There's some love done, an act of love and kindness. Oh, wow, you thought of me. That is so sweet. Thank you very much for this amazing gift. But the gift of God. So God has a gift for you tonight. God has a gift of everlasting life. The gift of God is everlasting life. The gift of God is heaven. The gift of God is that your sins be forgiven. The gift of God is that you will not go to hell. The gift of God is eternal life. What an amazing gift. And I've gotten some good gifts in my life, some pretty impressive gifts. And you're most of them are from my wife. Because she's very thoughtful and she it's her gift. Her gift is giving gifts. And I appreciate it. So thank you. But the gift of God, it all pales. I don't remember what you gave me last year. What a sad thing this is. But this is a gift I'll never forget. The gift of God. He gave me that gift in 99. I understood for the first time I'm going to hell. And I deserve it. And I'm under the judgment of God. Wow, how hopeless this is. I'm going to go to hell. What am I going to do? I was shocked. I was absolutely startled and scared. And I found out about the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I could actually accept him as my Savior, my Lord and Savior, and be saved. And that's exactly what I did. And I understood for the first time in my life, Jesus died for me. It just clicked. Light bulb moment. I heard that my whole life. But when in the point of peril, at the point of right in the, at the edge of death, I was on the brink of eternity. It felt like I'm going to go to hell if I died right now. It was the Holy Spirit illuminating my eyes and my mind and my soul. And I understood for the first time the danger I'm in. Before that, I was a careless fool. I did my own thing. I walked my own way, my own will. I was a sheep going astray, and I enjoyed it, and I loved it. I didn't even know the danger I was in. I was going on a one-way ticket, a one-way road, and there's a semi coming. And I'm on a bicycle, and I didn't know the danger I was in. And I'm just ignorantly driving towards this semi, the pillar of death. Praise God, God arrested me and showed me I'm in danger. There's a semi coming. Get off the path, get off. Get off the broad road, you're going down to hell. There's a semi, the death pillar is coming for you. And I understood there was a door. For the first time I understood there's a door wide open. There's an exit ramp. Get off. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, by me, if any man comes in, he or she will be saved. Praise God, there's a gift of eternal life, the gift of God. And how can God just give us a gift of everlasting life? Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If that last part of the verse wasn't there, the middle part of the verse wouldn't be available for you. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. That's how God dealt with the sin issue. That's how he dealt with the righteousness had to be met. God's righteousness had to be met. And it was met through the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary. He, the just one, the righteous one, died for us, the evil ones, the unjust ones. Why did he do that? That he might bring us to God and he might take us to heaven one day. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I like pointing this out. It's a gift. It's not a prize. So where I grew up in this religion, the Hutterites, I grew up there, and we were taught eternal life is a prize. We were taught it's a prize. And most false religions would do that. You know, you go to any false religion in Winnipeg here, you go to Roman Catholic Church, you go to like Mormon churches, you go to Jehovah's Witness Church, you go to all these false churches, Hutterite churches, and so on and so forth, all these false churches. And you would actually find out this idea is preached, performance-based Christianity. You do these things to get eternal life. You do this, do that, follow this rule, submit to Islam, submit to Hinduism, submit to all these religious authorities. You submit to them, no matter what. You submit, you obey the creed, and then you might, just hope, keep your fingers crossed, you might get eternal life. But that's actually false. That's from Satan himself. That's satanic, evil, false religion. This is God's way. God's way of salvation is not logical, really. Like the human mind loves to perform. Humans love to work. They want to do something. You're programmed from a child to do, to perform, to do good things. If we do X, we will get Y, or so on and so forth. It's all a formula. We know how to perform, how much to do to get X. But that's not how God operates. God does not operate that way. God says you don't deserve. If I gave you what you deserve, you'd end up in hell. You know, if you do X, you will get hell. That's how God operates. That's God's math. God says you don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve eternal life. But I want to give you a gift, a grace. Grace to you. I want to give you a gift, a free gift that you don't deserve. But I'm willing to give it to you because somebody else took the punishment that you deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a precious, precious verse this is. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he took the punishment that we deserved, that we might not be punished in hell forever. And my eyes were opened in 99 in Selkirk, Manitoba, where I understood this concept for the first time. And I was transferred from the broad road to the narrow road, from darkness to light, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will never see God's heaven. It doesn't matter what you think right now. It doesn't matter, you might get in. If your name is not written down, you will not enter heaven. If you've never been born again, if you've never had a day of salvation, if you can't say, I was born again on that day. I remember that time.
if you can't say, oh, I remember that time where I was born again, you know, in that moment, in my room, or in that hotel room, or in that washroom, or in the park. If you don't have a day like that, you're not saved, you're not born again. You will not see God's heaven. You will never be in heaven. It's impossible. The Bible says, except a man be born again, except a woman or a boy or girl be born again, he will not, cannot see the kingdom of God. He will never see God's heaven. This is the absolute certainty of God's word. So you must have a day. The Bible calls it a day of salvation, not progressional salvation. Many people, many false religions believe in a progressional salvation. They believe that eventually, as they follow Jesus more and more, they will maybe get into heaven. That's a lot of Christianity. Christians believe that. They believe it's progression. Yeah, it's called progressional or progressional sanctification. They basically, it's salvation is a process. A lot of churches will say that. You just follow Jesus a little bit more. Consecrate yourself a little bit more. Try a little bit harder. Obey God a little bit more. Do his commands a little bit more. That's false. The Bible says there is a day. Behold, now. The Bible says now, right now, today is the day of salvation. Right now. If you haven't been born again, now is the accepted time. Well, now is the day of salvation. Because we're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says tomorrow may not come. Because I heard a story this week. There's so many people dying, it seems like. It's a place of death, you know. And even in Brandon, Manitoba, apparently this week, a 49-year-old person, a lady, a woman, she had children as well. She was going on a highway. No stop sign, no red light, no nothing. She was just having her a nice morning drive, just doing her own, minding her own business. And all of a sudden, a semi smooshed her from the side. A semi ran a red light or ran a stop sign. I'm not sure exactly what it was. A semi from an illegal driver, truck driver, who didn't even have a class one. And he wasn't even vetted to be here. And he smashed into this 49-year-old woman from Brandon. She had kids and she was crushed. And this semi pushed her into another semi and absolutely killed her. Instant death. She had no chance. It was an unbelievable sad story. Can you imagine? Mind your own business, doing nothing wrong, and she's just driving, somebody kills her. And her kids have no mommy now. How sad is this? And this is the place we're living in. It's a place of death, really. And so we're not promised tomorrow. You know, we could walk out, anything can happen out in the streets. It's a very dangerous place. We could get stabbed. You know, anything dangerous could happen. We're very fragile. We're very weak. We feel so strong. And then all of a sudden we kneel. This week, I was at work and I kneeled on a little pebble. It was like quarter inch by quarter inch. And I'm like, I almost fainted. My full weight of my knee went on this pebble. And I realized how weak I am, how frail I am. And I had a better appreciation of who we are. Not anything can happen to us. So God is warning us. God is not saying tomorrow. Satan's maybe saying tomorrow. Get saved tomorrow. You know, and I've talked to a real good friend of mine recently. A very dear Ukrainian friend, and I asked him if he's where is that with salvation, you know, what's the latest thought of it. He's like, I'm not quite ready, not quite, I'm almost there, but not quite, just on the verge, just almost. That's a very dangerous place, but that's where Satan wants you to be. Just one more day, just tomorrow. But the Bible says, behold, now, today is a day of salvation. It's a limited time offer. You can take an offer to a store, and you can confidently give it to them, and they can say, sorry, it's expired. It's not valid anymore. So may you not be foolish. Because once you die, the Bible talks about in Luke 13, it says, there's these people, come before God, and it says they're knocking on the door. It says, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And it's a frantic cry, Lord, Lord, they're desperate. They want to get in. They're trying to bang the door down, and there's on the other side, it says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. There's no relationship with God. You've never had dealings with me when you were alive, and I have no dealings with you now that you're dead. You know it's too late, Luke 13. But in Matthew 7, there's another verse. It says, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. And what's the difference between Luke 13 and Matthew 7? In Matthew 7, you're still alive. You knock on heaven's door, but the door really is wide open. But God's going to open up the door. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you, and you'll get salvation. So this is the difference. It's a limited time offer. And now is the accepted time, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. So Christ is the only hope. So may God open your eyes. May you see your need. That we're just here to warn you. We love you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you tremendously. We're just messengers. I'm just a messenger here of what God has done in my life. It's a true story. I'm just in a sense an eyewitness account, in a sense of an eyewitness of the grace of Christ. What God can do for a guilty sinner. I'm actually a prime example. I'm just telling you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. It's true. It happened to me. This, what I'm saying to you is something that I experienced in 99, in October of 99, by God's amazing grace, and I'm walking in newness of life, I'm a brand new person. He saved my soul, and I know I'll go one day, I'll die, I'll be in heaven one day. Not because I'm a good person, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is good and kind and gracious and tender, and he died for me. And that you can say the same thing tonight if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. So may God, may you be wise, may you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be saved tonight.